right. Good morning, everybody. It's great to see you today. Welcome you, all of you, to Church of the Open Door this morning, and especially those of you as well at our East York campus and here in our gathering as well. We pray that wherever you're listening, some of you are listening online this morning as well, and wherever you're listening from, we trust that we'll sense God's greatness and His power and just the awesome privilege of being able to serve Jesus Christ. If you have your Bible, let's turn together to the book of 1 Timothy. We're in this series on 1 Timothy. We're calling this series Above. And that means essentially that as the follower of Jesus Christ, there are some things that are above what this world would say. And so we're talking about how we take our convictions as followers of Jesus Christ from Scripture, and that Scripture is above the winds of culture, right? Scripture is above what others might say or even what they might do. So we don't take our example all the time from people. Some people give us good examples. Some people don't give us very good examples. And so when that happens, we have to make sure that that our convictions come from the pages of God's Word. And today we have an interesting passage here in 1 Timothy chapter 5, where the Apostle Paul is talking about some special people in the church of Jesus Christ and how, as Christ followers, we can make sure that we minister well to them. And I think, you know, a lot of times as Christians, it's easy for us Sunday after Sunday to just kind of walk into church, to sing a few songs, you know, put some money in the offering plate, listen to a sermon, and then kind of walk out the door without any meaningful interaction with our fellow followers of Jesus Christ. I think that can especially be true in a church like ours. So we have multiple services as a church in multiple venues. There's a lot of stuff that goes on behind the scenes to make all of that happen week after week. And so we might come to a service at one venue or another venue and then a third venue, and we don't even know the person that we're sitting next to, you know, week after week after week. We're also a church that sees new people come on a regular basis. And so it's kind of easy sometimes, I think, to get lost in the crowd. And yet, when the people we come to worship, the people we worship with are not just any old persons. If they as well follow Jesus, they are our brothers and our sisters in Jesus Christ. And so we are actually family. Some of you may not want to claim me as your family, but the truth of the matter is that if you're a fellow Christ follower, you're my brother, you're my sister. And we have, I think, a great responsibility to each other. The Apostle Paul talked about that in a number of passages, and here's one of them. He wrote to the very church, by the way, that Timothy was pastoring. And he reminded them, and as he reminds us there in the second chapter, he says, you know, you're no longer foreigners and strangers. You are fellow citizens with God's people, and you are members of the household of God. Wow. And so here in the book of 1 Timothy, as we learned a number of weeks ago when Pastor Don preached, we learned that this is a book written so that we know how to conduct ourselves in God's house. This is a book written so that we know how to treat each other in God's house. And today, we're going to see how we should treat a special group that sometimes gets neglected in the church. That is widows and widowers, single parents, and even senior citizens. And so here's the big idea of what we want to talk about today. Paul says this. He says, how we treat the most vulnerable among us says a lot about the character among us. And it reminds us, I think, of who we are in Jesus Christ. And so let's just pause for a moment and pray and ask for the Lord's blessing upon our time together. Father, thank you so much for the privilege we have today to gather together, Lord, in all of the venues of this church today. And we want to worship you today, Lord, as our creator and our sustainer, as our savior and our Lord, as our healer, our sanctifier, our friend. I want to thank you today for every person serving in any capacity in the life of this church and all of our venues, Lord. Thank you so much for them. I want to lift up today those who are within the sound of my voice who don't know you as Savior. I want to pray for the hurting today in our church. I want to pray for the marriages of our church and ask that you would sustain them and strengthen them. Thank you, Lord, for the privilege of being a church that not only has a passion for the city and the county in which we live, but we also we have a passion for the world. And so we lift up those who serve both locally and today in faraway places, sharing the love and the gospel of Jesus Christ. I pray for them today and ask for your great grace, Lord, in their lives. Thank you, Father, for the privilege of being called out of this world and being changed by grace. Teach us this morning what it means to be people who live by grace. And I pray that your name will be exalted and glorified in all of that. In Jesus' great name we pray. Amen. Amen. All right, so the Apostle Paul says a few things in this passage here in 1 Timothy 5 that we need to talk about. The first thing he says is this, that if we're family, we should love each other like family. We should love each other like family. Here's what he says, 1 Timothy 5, beginning at verse 1. Do not rebuke an older man harshly, but exhort him as if he were your father. Treat younger men as brothers, older women as mothers, and younger women as sisters with absolute purity. Number one, love each other as family is what Paul says. So as he kind of begins this idea here in this passage, he gets into what I want to call, I'm going to write this down, a generational generosity, if you will. Timothy is, as a pastor, he's got to address and deal with all kinds of people. And so Paul says, Timothy, when you have to address older men and women, make sure that you give them the respect that you would your own parents. And Timothy, when you relate to younger men, make sure that you treat them as you might your own brother. And Timothy, when you deal with younger women, Timothy, make sure that you honor them the way you would your own sister. Now, it's interesting to me there in verse 2, especially in this Me Too atmosphere that we have in this day and age, that I like the fact that Paul was actually kind of way ahead of his time, I think, there, because he adds, if you notice there, that he adds that the treatment of younger women is to be, quote, with absolute purity. I think it's there intentionally. We've certainly seen and heard, you know, these last number of years about the mistreatment of women by powerful men in Hollywood, the mistreatment of women by powerful men in the corporate world, and sadly, you know, even in the Church of Jesus Christ. I just want to say this today. I don't ever want to hear that someone on my staff or somebody in our church has taken advantage of a younger woman or even a younger child. You know what Jesus said about that? Jesus said that it would be better for you that a millstone be hung around your neck and you drowned in the deepest sea than for you to hurt a young person and hurt them in their faith. And I think Paul is talking about that here in this passage of Scripture. Here he is 2,000 years ago, and Paul is saying to us, listen, as followers of Jesus Christ, the Church of Jesus Christ, if there ought to be a place where young people especially are shown respect and purity, it ought to be in the Church of Jesus Christ. Wow. Treat each other and love, Paul says, each other as family. Now, that doesn't mean that from time to time you can't say what needs to be said. How about a church? Churches are a family. And sometimes as a family, we have to have crucial conversations. Can I get a witness here today? You know, even as a staff, there are times in our staff when we just kind of have to sit down as a staff and air it out. And, you know, we do that from time to time. We have to do that at times even with our ministry teams. Not too long ago, we had a crucial conversation with a ministry team, and all of us came to that room with some strength. And that's, I think, part of the process here. But, you know, after we aired it out, we said to each other, you know what, we're family. We're going to have times like this, but we love each other, and we're committed to each other for the long haul. Paul is talking about that kind of honesty, I think, that kind of community, because let's face it, all of us longs for that community. Do we not, church? We long for a place where we belong. We long for a place where people will love us for who we are. We long for a place where we can speak into each other's lives. We can do it honestly and frankly and still love each other. And the church is to be that place. Our relationship with God and our relationship with the church. We should love each other, Timothy says, and treat each other with respect as we would a family. There's a second thing Paul says here. Not only do we love each other as family, but we're supposed to also care for each other as family. Care for each other as family. Paul says this, beginning in the third verse of 1 Timothy chapter 5. He says, give proper recognition to those widows who are widows are really in need. Now, Paul is dealing here with a group of people who oftentimes get overlooked in the church, and that, of course, is widows. Now, to be sure, widowhood was very different in the first century than it is today, right? So today, we do have a lot of safety net things like life insurance and 401ks, and we have nursing centers and assisted living centers. We have all these options in our particular day and age, and we have to kind of work with them as our parents grow older. But back then, they didn't have all that stuff. Back then, life was short. We're going to talk about a woman being old at 60. I better never say that to somebody who's very, very close to me, you know. Paul's going to talk about that here in just a few minutes, but back then life was short. Back then widows were vulnerable. In fact, church, they were oftentimes exploited. And so what Paul is dealing with here in this passage was a huge, huge issue in that particular day. It's one of the reasons why the Bible has a lot to say about God's heart for widows. Did you know that? Look at some of these passages. Way back in Isaiah chapter 1, Isaiah said, learn to do right, defend the oppressed, take up the cause of the fatherless, and plead the case of the widow. In Acts chapter 6, a famous passage where we believe that the office of deacon actually kind of came out of Acts chapter 6. Well, one of the reasons why that passage happened is because they needed people to supervise what they called the daily distribution to the widows in the church. So even back in the first century, they were taking care of widows in that particular day and age. James said it this way. He said that true religion, in other words, if you're really going to live out your faith, is something that looks after widows in their distress. Jesus, I think, was actually our example here in a lot of ways, as he is in so many ways. Jesus reached out to the widow of Nain and healed her son, or actually brought him back to life again. Jesus talked about the widow there who badgered that unjust judge. He warned the Pharisees. This is huge. Jesus warned the Pharisees back in the day, 2,000 years ago, that they should not abuse women and take advantage of them by taking money from them. He actually talks about devouring widows. And of course, we know that on the cross, as he was dying, Jesus gave, so to speak, the care of his widowed mother, Mary, to his good friend, the Apostle John. As a pastor, I've preached at hundreds of funerals down through the years and have wept with widows and widowers. I've seen the plight of widows firsthand as I walked beside my own mother these last number of years. I've seen women who've been abandoned by straying husbands. I've seen husbands who've been abandoned by straying wives. I've seen down through the years, so many single moms walking a difficult road. I think the principles that Paul wants to say to us here applies to all of those segments of our church. And we're called as the people of God to have a heart, for this population. So he gives us a few things that he wants us to think about. The first thing I believe he says is this, is that we should support those who are truly in need. Let's pick the story up there, beginning at verse 3. Paul says, give proper recognition to those widows who are really in need. If a widow has children or grandchildren, these should learn first of all to put their religion into practice by caring for their own family and so repaying their parents and grandparents, for this is pleasing to God. The widow who is really in need and left all alone puts her hope in God and continues night and day to pray and to ask God for help. And so in those days, he's reflecting about this idea that women really, truly, when they were widows, they were all alone and they really only had God to trust in. But the widow who lives for pleasure is dead even while she lives. Give the people these instructions so that no one may be open to blame. In other words, we want to make sure that the world doesn't look at us and say, well, what's wrong with you? You're not even taking care of your own family. Anyone who does not provide for their relatives and especially for their own household has denied the faith and is worse than an unbeliever. Wow. Few things that Paul is saying here, I think. First of all, he's just saying, listen, as families, we're supposed to take care of our own. So one of the ways we kind of like pay back our parents is for us to be able to take care of our parents in their time of need. This is so pleasing to God that Paul will say there that if we don't follow through on this, it's like worse than those who deny God. That's kind of what he was saying there in that passage. So God really wants us to do this. He also talks there about younger widows, if you notice, who live for pleasure there and having a death-like existence. You know what he's talking about there? He's reminding us that widows, especially younger widows in that day and age who had no older children to take care of them, many times they resorted to like prostitution and things like that to be able to support themselves. That's what he means there by living for pleasure. There was no safety net for them in society. Certainly this was wrong. But Paul is saying to us, this is where the church should come in. Widows who didn't have any to support them. Verse 5, he says they're truly dependent on God. They're to be looked after by the church. We're going to see in verse 9, he talks about this list. And so there was actually a list that women were put on in that particular day and age who didn't have anybody to help them, and they agreed to serve the church by being on that list, and the church then in turn took care of their physical needs. So the first of all, he says to us that we should be men and women who support those who are in need. He also says this in verses 9 and 10. He says, enlist those who can help to serve. So let's explore this here a minute. Verse 9, no widow may be put on the list of widows unless she is over 60. There was my little joke there a few minutes ago. Has been faithful to her husband and is well known for her good deeds, such as bringing up children, showing hospitality, washing the feet of the Lord's people, helping those in trouble, and devoting herself to all kinds of good deeds. Now, apparently, Pastor Timothy was like, he had written Paul, and he was trying to say, what do we do with this large segment of our church? They have nobody to take care of them. How can we kind of organize this? That's what I think Paul is doing there in these verses. And the first thing I think he's reminding them, and this kind of comes through in a lot of ways, and it shows up again in verse 16, is that the church isn't responsible to help everyone and anyone. You know that? I mean, we do our best to try to help all kinds of people, but you know what? There are times when we our resources only go so far. And that's why I think Paul said there in verse 9, put them on this list. And it seems to be that, you know, they were to be serving the church and the church would serve them as well. And so you can see that in order to qualify for this list, you had to be a certain age, and you had to be somebody, you know, as you can see there, who was faithful, who was really, you know, about serving God. So it wasn't just like any old person who gets on this. This was somebody who had already demonstrated a commitment to Christ. So enlist those who can help to serve. And then finally, he says there, beginning of verse 11, that no matter who we are in the church, encourage, Paul says, everybody to find their particular spot in the scheme of things. And listen to how he says this, beginning at verse 11. The wording is a little archaic, but the concepts are not, so you're forewarned. As for younger widows, do not put them on such a list. For when their sensual desires overcome their dedication to Christ, they want to marry. Thus they bring judgment on themselves. So apparently they had made some kind of a commitment to be on this list, and so some were reneging on that, and Paul is, I think, referring to that there, because they've broken their first pledge. Besides, they get into the habit of being idle and going about from house to house. And not only do they become idlers, but also busybodies who talk nonsense, saying things they ought not to. By the way, I don't think he's just referring, here he's referring to women, but in other passages of Scripture, men can do the same things. Can I get a witness on that? All right, I wasn't very loud. So I counsel young widows to marry, to have children, to manage their homes, and to give the enemy no opportunity for slander. Some have, in fact, already turned away to follow Satan. If any woman who is a believer has widows in her care, she should continue to help them and not let the church be burdened with them, so that the church can help those widows who are really in need. So let's talk about these younger widows here. He uses... like I said, some language that might seem a little archaic to us, but the ideas I don't think are all that archaic. He's talking about younger widows. He said, don't be so hasty to put them on this list. Why? Because there's a good chance that they'll meet somebody, get married, and not stay on the list. So that's what he's referring to, I think, there. And then when he talks about being a busybody and stuff, you know, when you're young, you have a lot of energy. So you know, don't put yourself on an old folks list, is what he's saying. There's a reason why young people don't live in old folks housing, right? We don't. It's not going to work out. So that's what I think Paul is referring to there. He's saying instead, encourage younger widows to remarry, and to invest their lives in living for God in the context of their families. But you know, there's a question that I want us to ask ourselves here in light of some of this counsel here. And it's this: what do we at COD do to help those in need? And how are we living up to the ideals of this passage of Scripture? To me, that's the big question that should come to us here. So I know at our church we have a number of things that happen. We have groups of fellowship groups for people who are over 60 or so, like, to connect with each other, and they have lunch together and dinners and events and things like that. We actually have two individuals on our staff here at COD, and a lot of what they do is reach out and stay connected to the elderly and to the shut-in of our congregation. We have a benevolence fund that I know helps various people in their needs. But you know, as we talked about, and by the way, every week on Thursday when our pastors meet together, we look at the passage that we're looking at, and I have most of my sermon done by that time, and they get to look at my sermon and speak into me and things like that. But there was a sense as we were in our pastor's meeting this past week that we could actually be more proactive as a church in meeting the needs of this segment of our congregation. And here are just a few things that, you know, came to our mind, like practical handyman projects and mowing and raking and painting and shopping. Some of you love to shop. Some of you don't have enough money to do all the shopping you want to do. There are people who might want you to shop for them. Wouldn't that be something? To get paid for that. Giving rides to appointments and helping with finances. I know, you know, folks when they get to this spot oftentimes struggle with keeping their bank accounts together. And there's Medicare and Medicaid and health insurance and all that stuff. And so here's what I want to do today. I want to throw this out to our congregations and all of our venues here today. And I want to challenge you to talk about this amongst yourself. There might be somebody that's listening to me today, and you're thinking to yourself, you know what? I have time and energy. I'd love to organize something like this on my particular campus. And, you know, we were trying to think of what would that sound, what would a name for that kind of a ministry be? And so today I want to kind of throw that out to our congregation. And because this is a priority. Paul of all the things he could have written to Timothy about, he's talking about this segment of our church family who oftentimes have needs that are like staring us in the face. And so a couple takeaways here this morning for you and me to think about as we wrap all this up here. The first thing is this. Caring for a dependent parent is an honorable responsibility. You know, 13 years ago, I watched my father slip into eternity. And that's one of my favorite pics of my parents with their grandkids when they were much younger. And on that Monday afternoon, one of the last things I promised my dad was that his sons would take care of our mom. That seemed to give him some comfort as God was taking him into eternity. For 6 years, my mother lived here in York with us, and then when we had to make some financial decisions, she moved over near my late brother in Chambersburg. About a month or so ago, I was preaching at the 8 o'clock service, and I leave my phone right over there, and I happened to have it turned up where I could see it, and I could see my phone was blowing up in front of me, and I knew something was probably happening, and what was happening is my mother had a very bad fall that Sunday morning, and as a result, as she spent, you know, nearly a month or so in a rehab hospital, and she's back home now, thank God. But you know, as I make those trips over to Chambersburg, oftentimes on a Monday or a Saturday, and as I get on the phone sometimes at 10 o'clock at night and talk my mom off of a ledge or whatever, it just reminds me that I'm keeping promises, and you know what? It's a good feeling. It's a good feeling. When your parents get older, I've often heard this said, but I'm experiencing it now for myself. A lot of times the roles kind of reverse a little bit, and in some ways you kind of become almost a parent to your parents. And sadly, down through the years, as I've watched families deal with this, I've watched families fight over this. Well, it's your turn now. I did this and all that. And sometimes I've seen families abuse a parent. Sometimes I've seen families try to squeeze as much money as they possibly can out of a parent. Now, listen to me this morning. If you're a Christ follower, caring for a parent is a sacred honor. It's not always easy. Sometimes it comes at inconvenient times, but it's a way to live out our faith. I think Paul is saying that. Caring for a dependent parent is an honorable responsibility. Number two today, I want you to think about this, that widowhood, and I think I have this word right, widowerhood, if not I just coined a word, is a time for you to draw near to God if that's where you are in your life right now. You know, when I was a young pastor, I had an elderly lady in my church by the name of Jessie. Jessie grew up in the city of Chicago, and her pastor was the famous A.W. Tozer. And so you can imagine, this was a woman who knew how to pray. And I used to love visiting Jessie. I would go visit Jessie. Sometimes my wife would come along with me, and I used to love hearing Jessie pray for me. And Jessie, the Lord took Jessie home about a couple years into my first pastorate. And when God took her home, I want to tell you something. I could, like, almost physically, and spiritually feel the loss of her prayers, because I know she spent hours. It was her ministry. She couldn't do a lot, but she had time to pray, and she prayed. She prayed. Senior saints, listen to me this morning. You are a powerhouse in this church. You might not think you are, but you are a powerhouse in this church. My ministry has been so enriched down through the years by the widows and the widowers and the senior saints who have come alongside of me and prayed for me and write me notes. And I love when they call me young man. Yes, indeed. I know when I first moved here, I've told you this numbers of times, that it was the senior saints of this church that reached out to my young son and welcomed him. I am so grateful for that. But listen to me, widowers, you have an amazing gift, and one of the gifts that you have is time. Glory to God for that. You have time to draw near to God. You have time to serve God. You have time to pray. You have time to seek God's face for the rest of us. I want to encourage you to use that time. Use that. Be the force and the army of this church that covers this church and covers its pastors and its leaders and its ministries in prayer. Widowhood and widowerhood, I think, is a time for you to draw near to God and to use that amazing gift that he's given to you. And then thirdly today, single moms and single dads and children of single parents, listen to me, church, they need a special touch from the church. Today we have more single moms and single dads with kids, some of whom have been abandoned by their spouses, by their parents, maybe than ever before. And I want to tell you something, church. When they walk into our place, they want to experience something different than they experience from this world. The church ought to be a place of healing for them. They need the love and the grace and the stability and the hope and the understanding that comes from a place like a church. A church. It's one of the reasons why over at our East York campus, a number of months ago, we had a shower, like a no strings attached shower for young moms, many of whom were single. Do you know that a friend of one of them has come to our church recently and has come to know Jesus Christ as her Savior and Lord? Glory to God for that. It's why we minister at the Layman's Center in downtown York. It's why we're connected to Human Life Services. And many of you, I know, go down there and you counsel and help this particular segment of our society. James said it so well. He said, that's true religion when you actually put it into practice with orphans, with those who have been abandoned, and of course so what are we going to do with this message today? What are you going to do with this? What is this church going to do with this message? Are there any widows in your life? Are there any widowers or maybe a single mom or a single dad who lives in your neighborhood, or some kids in your neighborhood whose parents are not really engaged, or and they're just kind of lonely and they go through life this way? Is there anybody in your life, in my life, with whom we can make a difference? Maybe God is going to call some of us to foster or to adopt. Maybe you're here today and you need to get involved in kids ministry or student ministry. You might be here this morning and you're caring for a dependent person, or you're a single mom or a single dad and you're just completely exhausted all the time. If so, we want to pray for you. We have a place in our church called the Next Steps in all of our venues. We have a Next Steps area, and today, after this service, you can go to that place, and there'll be people there who be glad to pray for you or to talk with you. Or maybe you've got some ideas about how this church can do a better job ministering. Go to Next Steps this morning and say, I've got this idea. I want you to want us all to think about it. This is a passage that really, I think, speaks deeply to who we are as a church, putting into practice what we say that we believe. It's so true. It's so true. What we do with the least of these, how we treat the most vulnerable among us, says a lot about the character among us and who we are in Jesus Christ. And all God's people said, amen.